In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we pay close attention and we understand Scripture well, we can see that in many of the stories of the Gospels especially, we have summarized or encapsulated some even broader principles than what is happening. So today we might just look at this story that we heard from St. Matthew's Gospel, and many of us, we might just see Jesus walking on the water, which is obviously quite a wonder, especially considering all of the storms and so forth. And I see Stephen Shippey here with me, visited with me the Dead Sea several years ago. I said, you know, if Jesus had walked on the Dead Sea, it wouldn't have been such a big deal because there's so much salt in it. You can almost walk on the water. But, and believe me, from experience, don't go in there with contacts in. You get a little bit of that salt in your eye. Oh, I thought I was going to go blind. I would have rather poked my eye out than had that happen. But anyway, Jesus obviously did quite a sign, quite a wonder. But the way that Matthew relates it to us is telling us of something more that encapsulates more fully what we should pick up from and what we should learn from the gospel. And there's three things that I want to highlight here that Matthew has pointed out for us within this story. The first is the time at which Jesus came, the second being the role of the water, and then the third being how St. Peter behaves in this story. And so as it relates to the first, we hear that Jesus came out at the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And I believe this is a reference that's reminding us that Jesus comes to check up on us. He comes to judge us. We'll say that in the Nicene Creed here in a little bit, that he comes again to judge the living and the dead. So he's coming out to the boat amidst this storm, testing his disciples. We'll see that St. Peter is put to the test. And we have to remember that we hear back at St. Lent, in Great Lent, that Jesus says that he will come in the midst of the night. Remember that we have the bridegroom matin services during Holy Week. And this is even after midnight. It appears, in other words, that the test is passed. You know, sometimes when we were in school, when I would go to class, I had one teacher in particular, you never knew when he was going to give a pop quiz. And you better be ready for it, because they weren't easy. I found that out the first time. And I was prepared every time after that. But you would get to class, you know, you get to a certain point, and you would think, okay, not today. It's not today he's going to give us the quiz. But then he might hit you at the end. And it's the same way that we have to be prepared for the judgment. Remember that Jesus tells us if the master of the house knew what time the thief was coming, he would have prepared. In other words, be prepared. Even the fourth watch of the night, where it looks like it's past, it's going into a new day, he's not returning, he could still come, so be ready. So that's the significance of the fourth watch of the night. Now, the significance of the water, we can understand. Obviously, it was a miracle, right? I mean, go try to walk on water anywhere. You can't do it. Although I hear there's some thing that they have now in certain places where there's a little, you know, bridge underneath the water so you can go out in it and it looks like you're walking on the water like Jesus did. You know, a tourist attraction, like people like to do these things to make money. We've seen that historically. People use the Bible, they use the history and so forth to make money for themselves rather than to teach. But we know that we go out and we're not going to walk on the water. But it's more significant than that, because in the Bible, water is one of the great enemies of humanity. And if you think about it, at the time of the Bible, the Old Testament, let's begin with most especially, when the Bible begins, you know, the sea was something that was quite scary. I mean, I don't know any of you, but one of the things, one of the most humbling experiences that ever happens for me is to be in the middle of the ocean or to be placed out into the water, even a little bit from the shore, and you see how insignificant you are compared to this great body of water, the ocean. And there's this paradox with water, because we know that we need water. a great portion of our bodies is water. And if we lose that, then we die. But at the same time, the water can rise up against us. In Wichita, we don't have a lot of water around us like they did in the regions where the Bible was written, but we understand the wind and what the wind can do and how it can be a nice breeze to cool you off, but it can also blow away everything that you have. It was the same way with the water. And so we see one of the first things that God did in the book of Genesis is he separated the earth from the water. He conquered one of humanity's enemies, or what could become one of humanity's enemies, and he gave us the dry land on which we could live, because we're not sea animals. We won't survive very long in the water. And we see throughout the Bible that God is depicted as one, we see it especially in the Psalms, as one who can tame the seas, one who can calm down the water, one who can make it so that the water is life for us and not death. And so Jesus walking out amidst the wind and the waves, as we hear in Matthew's gospel, tells us that this man is divine. That this man, when he speaks with divine authority. He speaks as the one who can calm the wind and the waves. So you better listen. So we heard not long ago at the Transfiguration, remember what that voice coming from God the Father said about Jesus. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. And then finally, we have St. Peter, who, poor St. Peter, he's always gets the short end of the stick in the gospel message. He decides he's going to be brave. Tell me to come out on the water. It's a reminder to us how he told Jesus, as Jesus was about to go and be betrayed, I'll do anything. I'll stay by your side no matter what happens. And Jesus says, come on, Peter. By the time the rooster crows three times, or crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And once again, Peter, in his self-righteousness, let's call it what it is, thinks that he can go out and be like Jesus and walk on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Jesus reveals that if he had faith in the same way that Jesus has faith in God the Father, completely putting his life in his hands as Jesus did when he walked out on the water, as Jesus did at the crucifixion, then Peter too would have been able to walk on the water. But Peter wasn't able because he's like us. He's a weak human being. And sometimes our faith is not strong. And so we're left in that position that Peter comes to. Peter, of course, ultimately repents. And he says, Lord, save me. And it's in that confession, that admission of his inability to follow God on his own, his inability to have the complete strength of the faith that Jesus had, his inability to be just exactly like Christ, in that confession is when the Lord reaches out his hand and pulls him up and saves him and tells him and brings him back into the boat for safety. And so, brothers and sisters, this is a reminder to us. It's a reminder that we should not be so bold as to be self-righteous, as to think of ourselves as being worthy of the name Christian. Yes, we're called Christian, but we're not worthy to bear that name. We only bear that name because of God's grace. And we cry out unto him, Lord, save me. Recognizing our weaknesses, accepting that our inability to do everything that we want to do, and recognizing that God still loves us nonetheless, and that he simply asks us to go out and to treat others with that same grace that he has shown us. So as we hear this story today, brothers and sisters, let us remember that God is coming to check up on us. As again, we'll say in the Nicene Creed, he's coming to judge us with his divine authority, according to his divine word. And one of the primary things that we need to do to pass that judgment is to set aside our self-righteousness. Set aside our thoughts that we are exactly like Jesus, but rather to recognize that we are sinners, that we need to be saved by the Lord. And as He lifted us up, let us lift up others who are in need of our help. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen. Pray to the